All right, Cade Mila, it's a faucha, and welcome back to the new episode of the Irish Hack. Today, I'm reunited with Kevin Markham after his week-long hiatus, where he had to go and then enjoy some personal golfing experiences. Kevin, how are we doing today?
Good, thank you. Good, yeah. Back home, actually, finally, so that's nice.
You were dearly missed last week. Flying solo isn't as easy as it seems.
It's not easy talking to a screen, is it? Saying, oh, yeah, I really like Royal Tara because of this or whatever it might be. It's usually good to bounce off somebody.
Yeah. Last week I spoke about how I think the nine holes at the yellow course at Royal Tara are very underrated. I think people can go back and listen to it for themselves, because my point was that when visitors are coming up to play Royal Tara, they'll go and play the blue course and the red course.
Yeah.
And nobody will really play the yellow. And me personally, I actually think the yellow is a better nine holes than the yellow or the red or the blue. I just think there's more variability. It's different off the tee in each hole. There's more different approach shots from different yardages, and the par threes are actually pretty good as well. So yeah, people can come fly back to episode 7 and listen to that if they like.
Okay.
Kevin, we've been speaking off air. Today we're going to enter Carton House down in County Kildare to talk about the lovely resort that they've had down there. It's two courses, 36 holes. O'Meara and the Monte, both extremely different. Let's as always start off with this. What's your general thoughts on Carton House as a golfing destination?
Exceptional. I think it's a fabulous resort. It's obviously the location is perfect for anyone who's coming into Dublin. It's a really good base. I mean, you think about, you got the K Club and you got Carton House, you got two golf resorts vying for high-end visitors. And I think Carton House is certainly, now that it's got the Fairmont branding attached to it, it's become a big destination for Americans.
Yeah, that's actually, so I was speaking with somebody that's kind of a little bit in the know down there, and they were saying that the Fairmont group wants to, I suppose, have this association with American tourists, that when they're coming over, using Carton House as a central hub for commuting around Ireland, because traditionally a lot of people fly into Shannon, go straight down to Kerry and spend a week down there. And if you come into Dublin, you can go to Carton House, you can go up and play Dublin, you can get a helicopter down to the southwest if you want to go down and play in Kerry, and it's much more of a central feel. And as well as that, the whole atmosphere of being close to Dublin, being in Maynooth, like Maynooth's an awesome city as well in terms of entertainment and atmosphere. And then as well as that, like we mentioned, having the two courses there, the O'Meara has maybe a little bit more of an American feel to it in terms of a parkland. And the Monte is completely different in terms of being, in quotation marks, an inland links. So, yeah, we'll dive into this. Like, the O'Meara has been around since 2002, designed by Mark O'Meara, and the Monte was opened, the Montgomery, I keep calling it the Monte, which is,
I think everyone's
afraid. Yeah, the Monte was opened in 2003, designed by Colin Montgomery. I think we'll just dive into O'Meara first. The O'Meara off the white tee is 6,828 yards. I think for an average golfer like myself, who just wants to go down and play a good round of golf and an enjoyable golf course, not be overly tested or overly punished for having a bad day, the O'Meara is the perfect location to go and play.
Yeah, no question. I mean, there is no other resort that I can think of in Ireland anyway that has two courses of such contrasts. And that works so well in their favor, because as you say, if you want to have a reasonably pleasant, relaxing day, you go to the O'Meara. And I mean, you know, it's a nice parkland course. It's got that American style, as you talk about it, just a little bit, not too much. I mean, I think what I like about the O'Meara is it's very, very well laid out. It's nice and spacious. And then obviously you have the dramatic finish down by the river. So, you know, it's got quite a lot going for it in different areas. So, but I think the relaxing round of golf is certainly the one that I would pick out first.
Yeah, and it opens up with a fairly open par five playing up the hill. The second hole has been, so I've only found this out in the last like 2 weeks, because I used to love the O'Meara and I hadn't played it in about 18 months. And then I played it, I think, around 4 weeks ago. And I just forgot how great of a course it was. But I was playing with a member there, and he actually told me that the second hole used to be a par four. So when you walked off the par five first hole, you'd walk up this little mound to the right-hand side and it'd be a drivable par four playing down the hill, which has now been converted to a par three that measures 193 yards off the white tees. Do you remember that par four in the second?
It's actually the first. It's the old first. That par five was never there. You used to have to walk up the road from the clubhouse to get to the first tee. And because everybody was doing it, and it was quite a long walk, as part of the overhaul of the course, they introduced that new first par five hole. So that's a completely, well, I wouldn't say a completely new hole. It's obviously been there for several years now. But it's not, I mean, it's not a great hole to start with, because you're going uphill. It's a par five. It's not particularly dramatic. But they needed some way to join it because they wanted to start it closer to the clubhouse.
Oh, so then traditionally the second hole was the first hole.
Yeah.
And then where would the 18th hole have been if there would have been a missing hole?
The 18th hole comes back up to very close to where you used to tee off from for that first hole, the original first hole. So it didn't go back to the clubhouse the way it does now. I think you played 17, and then instead of going straight towards the clubhouse, you basically go straight right and go up the hill.
Wow. Okay, I did not know any of this. Well, I think they've probably made a change for the better, because it's at stages, especially after we think like the 16th green, walking up to the 17th tee, there's a number of quite laborsome walks. And if you had to add in walking from the clubhouse to that old first tee, it would have been overly taxing on the body. So I think they made a good change. You mentioned the first hole is not overly dramatic. It's a simple enough par five up the hill. And then you get the second hole, and the par three there is actually, I really like the par three there. And I can say this about a lot of the holes at the O'Meara. There's a lot of variance. The third hole is a very short par three or par four. The fourth hole is a par five. It's, I always get these numbers mixed up so bad. Just in terms of the front nine, we'll keep this relatively brief. Is there a certain hole that stands out to you? And if you want a moment to think about it, I can take it away for a second.
No, not at all. I know exactly which hole I'm picking. It's the fifth, the par four fifth.
Yes.
It's not, the thing is, the thing I love about that hole is that it looks good from the tee. So it's a dog leg left. It goes up, you're hitting down, very slightly downhill into sort of, not quite a bowl, but a lower level. And then it shoots straight left and up onto the green. And it looks perfect for a driver. You want to swing at it and knock that ball as far as you can. But you actually would be far better off by being back, by hitting sort of like hit 200, 220 yards rather than trying to hit it 250, 260. Because if you hit it too far, you actually can't see much of the green at all. Whereas if you lay up just that little bit back, you've got about 150 yards and you can see the green. And with the bunkers underneath it, you're better off seeing what you're hitting at.
Completely. And I'm so happy you said the fifth, because I thought we were going to have a disagreement straight away off the bat about which one was the memorable hole. But the fifth hole here, off the tee, it reminds me a little bit of the sixth at Loch Earn in terms of having the three or four intimidating bunkers down the left-hand side, just off the tee, hitting that drive. If you go too far right, like you mentioned, you could be under trees, or you're hitting semi-blind to the green and you don't see as much of it as you can. And I think the thing I like about this is there's days I've played it and I've hit a rescue off the tee, there's days I've played it where a spray driver, and I still haven't come to terms with what is the ideal strategy off this tee. Hitting to the green, it's a very shallow green with a bunker over the back as well, that tilts heavily from back to front, and it usually plays into the wind as well. So you think to yourself, right, I'm going to hit an extra club here up the hill. And if you go long, there was one day in particular, it was a gale force wind, and I took a 5-iron, which is from maybe a 9-iron distance, went slightly over the back of the green. And with the wind coming downwind, then on my return up the green, I was pitching back and forth across the green all day. But it's always the one hole that I'm just walking away from Joe Muir course, especially on the front nine, thinking, that was a real challenge, and it was only 366 yards.
Yeah.
And there was only bunkers down the left-hand side off tee. Like, there's loads of room out to the right. But then, like you mentioned, if you spray it out to the right-hand side, you just have no idea where you're going or where you're going to land your ball.
No, that's the difficult. Sorry, I was looking down because I've got the scorecard here. It's just interesting to know. I mean, it's actually index four. Is that four? Yeah, so it's index four. So, I mean, that kind of tells you. I mean, I always think, people walk up to and they walk up to a hole and they think, well, this is only 350 yards, 366 yards in this case. And they go, well, that's not a long hole. That's great. You know, big drive. And they're going to be hitting, you know, sort of like an eight or a nine iron in. But they don't think, well, hold on, it's index four. What's the trick? Where is this going to, where is this going to punch me? You know, and I think that hole is particularly, the approach is so tricky. You know, you've got to be so careful to find that green. And as you found out, you go over the back, you can be playing backwards and forwards for a while.
All day. Literally playing there all day, holding up the groups behind me. Who, if you're listening to this, groups behind me, I do apologize for that day in the middle of July. Okay, so you mentioned the seventh hole, the par three. I think we'll just quickly move on to that. This is like a downhill par three playing, I think it's into the wind most of the time, to with a bunker on the right-hand side. And the green is nestled with these trees behind it. And it's a really picturesque hole. And it's 149 yards off the white tees. But, and the fact that it plays downhill, you think to yourself, I'll only hit a pitching wedge short. But if you come up in that bunker on the right-hand side, it's treacherous. And I think just the thing about the O'Meara course is, on the scorecard, the holes don't look overly difficult. You think to yourself, oh, 366 yards, oh, par 3, 149 yards. This isn't going to be that tough. But the wind and the elevation changes plays havoc in your mind, and you can find yourself in a lot of trouble out there, especially on this seventh hole.
Well, I'm just going to make a point there about what you're saying with the wind and the elevation changes. What's interesting about that is you think about how tricky the wind makes the Montgomery, because it's so much more open and exposed. So you have wind attacking you in very different ways on two courses that are, you know, yards apart. And that in itself, if you were to play in the same wind and you played 36 in a day and you played O'Meara first, Monty in the afternoon, you'd find yourself in all kinds of like trouble with the wind, because it's the same wind, but it just hits you in such different ways.
Definitely. And the thing about the Montgomery is the fact that it's so open. You'll have a general idea of what way the wind is playing. The O'Meara, some of the tee boxes and the greens are a little bit more secluded, and you're left double guessing yourself a lot of the time, which is where I always find myself in the seventh hole. It's like, oh, well, this is playing downhill into the wind, but you know what? There's trees there which might block out a little bit of the wind, so maybe I'll take.
Yeah.
And it just leaves you with questions. And there's so much talk nowadays of extending golf courses and making them longer to make them tougher. And just sometimes it doesn't need to be like that. And I think the O'Meara has a lot more elevation changes than the Montgomery does as well, which is what definitely adds to the test.
The test and the attraction. I mean, I think, you know, any time you're hitting downhill to holes, I mean, you know, we'll get onto the back nine, but the 14th is a fabulous par three. It tends to be trumped by the beauty of the 16th, but the 14th is a beautiful downhill par three. And your point about the seventh and the wind, I mean, I'm not going to try and compare. As much as Carlton House has a reputation for its Amen Corner, I'm not going to try and say anything to compare the two. But on the seventh and the 12th at Augusta, so the seventh at Carlton House and the 12th at Augusta, when you play that seventh hole, you, as you say, you're quite protected from the wind. And if you put the ball up above the trees, you may not know how that wind is going to treat your ball. So suddenly you think it's exactly the right distance for you for this particular club. Ball gets above the trees, the wind hits it, you know, and you could lose 20 yards.
And that's the thing, it forces you to hit these shots that you're not always most comfortable. Like, if you want to just eliminate some of the uncertainty and you're a relatively low handicap golfer, okay, listen, I'll punch a nine iron in here and try and keep it below the level of the trees. But even that, you're trying to punch a nine iron 149 yards, or you're trying to punch an eight iron, which might go usually 160, and try to take 10 yards off it. It's just a different test. You're smashed in the face with the eighth hole, which I'll just briefly acknowledge is 431 yards. I've no idea what index it is. Severe dogleg to the left around the trees. it's a pretty sobering experience when you're there, in the fact that you're just not sure what's happening, where the wind is going. You're trying to draw this ball, which you might be uncomfortable with. If you fade the ball, you've like maybe 220 yards into a green that's playing up the hill.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that hole at all, but I suppose I enjoy the test of it. But to me, it's always a three shot hole, no matter where I drive it, even if I hug the tree line on the left hand side.
It's index two. I mean, and I think the other thing I find about the Omira course, I mean, I played it, and the last time I played it was in the summer, and I actually made that green in two, and I was so proud of myself that I went and four putted the bloody thing. So ruined the joy of reaching a very tough hole in two. And the greens are fast there. I mean, and well shaped as well. So you know, you find that on the eighth, that can really hurt.
Yeah, you know, you should be proud of yourself for hitting that in two. That's a monumental achievement, and you're not supposed to tell anybody that you're four putted. So just to keep the smile on the face. The thing, like I mentioned there already, about the elevation changes, it'll bring you to these highs and these lows. So the 10th tee box. You're brought around from the ninth green and you're standing at the top of the property overlooking everything. Then you play down the hill to the 10th green. The 11th tee box is a little bit more, it's a lower platform in terms of the property. It's a lower tee box and you don't see too much. And then you walk out onto the 12th tee box and all of a sudden it opens up again in front of you. And it's just brilliant the way it takes you around everywhere. There's so much different elevation, so many different scenes to take in and places to take pictures and hit golf shots. And like, yeah, I just think it's just a great test. It's a great route, and it's taxing to walk at stages, but I think just the general scenery and where you are and taking it all in adds a lot to it and doesn't make you don't feel like you're walking as much as you are. Although I'm sure if you have a Garmin or a Fitbit, you're walking a hell of a long distance over the 18 holes.
Yeah, no, it is well rooted. I mean, your comment there, the 10th tee, you're teeing off right beside the famous Tyrconnell Tower, which is, you know, quite a dramatic sight in itself. And you see it several times during the round. You tee up beside it on the 10th, the 11th, you're not quite going back towards it, but certainly on the 12th, you then pass it on your left-hand side. So it's really nicely done. And again, you get it when you come up into the 17th tee box. So, I mean, it's a dramatic sight, and it's a lovely central point for the golf course. And maybe in a way that actually emphasizes how well you are being rooted around the property.
Definitely. I think the stretch that everybody remember at Carton House is 14, 15, 16. 14 is this brilliant downhill par 3 playing over the water to a green that's, I suppose, kind of seated alongside the river. The 15th then is this par 5 where it's like a waterfall to the right hand side of the green. You're hitting over this stream that's actually coming across the par 3 14th. And then the stream continues all around and you're going to the 16th then as well, where it's another par 3 nestled in between the trees. And similar to the other holes that we just mentioned, the tee box is cemented in between, below the level of these trees, and you're not sure what the wind is doing. Just these three holes, I think, I've described them on Twitter before as potentially the best stretch of three holes in Ireland on a parkland course.
Okay. I wouldn't disagree with you. I wouldn't argue with you about it. I'd probably find a couple of others that I would prefer, but I mean, it's an incredibly strong stretch, and I'm actually going to stop you and take you back, because I actually think that stretch begins the hole and a half before. I really like the 12th, and I from the approach shot to the 12th, which is actually a really narrow shot into a green between trees. I actually really love the 13th downhill, because it's such an appealing hole. You see it all in front of you, and also because you know you're coming to this amazing stretch, you're kind of, the excitement is building. And the par 3, 14th, I mean, the River Rye just comes around the left side and in front of it, and then it stretches all the way down the left side of the 15th. So, I mean, on 15, you don't have to worry too much about it on the tee shot. It's on your second shot and very much on your third, just like at the K Club. And then you have this beautiful, enchanting 16th par 3, where, I mean, I'm not even sure how much the wind affects that hole, because it is so well protected on all sides that you know, usually you've got a fairly free shot to it. And that's why I think the 14th is actually a better hole, and certainly a tougher hole.
Oh yeah, I'm so happy you said that, because I actually think the 14th is a better hole as well. I think you mentioned there that it kind of starts in the 13th, and I agree. It's the fact that you walk off the 13th green, yet go walk through this little alleyway on a concrete path, and it weaves around to the right hand side, and you just look down to your left and you see this green situated down there. And I think it's the fact that it's so secluded, and you just feel so like it sounds cringy, but like you feel so alone with the hole, and it's only you and maybe the two or three other golfers there in your group, and you just have to hit one good shot down to this green. And it's a dramatic green as well. Like there's steep, if you're playing in the middle of summer, there's a steep enough run off to the left hand side that you can find yourself in the water. Over on the right hand side of it, there's that there's like a lot of rough, and you don't want to be pitched back towards the water either. And I think it's a better hole in terms of not visually, but in terms of one that I'd like to play over and over again. I'd rather play the 14th all day over the 16th hole.
Yeah. I mean, I think the 16th is one of the prettiest par threes in the country, but the 14th is definitely a stronger and more challenging hole. And that's why I like it. I think, you know, you're almost expecting to be on the 16th, which is probably a bad thing to say because we all expect and often fail to deliver. But I mean, you know, it's so pretty with the bridge that you walk across and you know, to get across the water. It's just enchanting, but 14 is good.
Yeah. Oh, quick fire question. Have you ever seen anybody make an eagle on the par 5, the 15th?
No. I've never seen anyone even reach it in two. And I've played with a couple of fairly low handicappers who would have a go at it. I mean, you know, unless you hit the perfect drive, you just can't take on the river. It's just too close to the green.
Yeah, we played a match. Yeah, I think my brother did, or he missed his eagle putt. He's a big driver of the ball, and I don't like him on too many compliments. But we played one day, my brother and myself against two other people, and this guy was like a scratch golfer, hit it in two to about 4 feet, ended the match on the 15th hole, and I was absolutely sickened because it was an incredible eagle, and he saw it in the air. And he just says like the Jordan Spieth thing, like, oh, be good. And it lands four feet. I was curious to see your thoughts. And then it finishes on 17 and 18. 18 is like I really like the 18th hole because you're hitting between these two trees that line either side of the fairway. It's a dramatic drive. It's a tough approach shot from maybe 190, 200 yards that you have to execute a really good shot to finish off your match or finish off your round or whatever you're playing. And it kind of stands out from the rest of the course because it's a very tough hole compared to the other par fours in the course.
Well, again, it's a new hole. So hold on. I keep picking up the wrong scorecard. I mean, it's index three. So, I mean, you know, it's 440 yards. I'm actually not overly impressed with the last hole. I'm not overly impressed with the first hole and the last hole. Sadly, they're the two new holes, or the two newest holes. But no, I wouldn't be a fan. I think it needs more around the green to make it stand out because you can have people almost beside the green playing on the practice area. And it just kind of loses some of its appeal when you're playing down there and you've got these people moving around behind the green. It just doesn't stand out for me. But I mean, as you say, hitting between the trees, that part I like. I just didn't think the approach quite worked so well.
Yeah, I think visually it's not overly appealing, but it's the fact that, maybe Mark O'Meara just couldn't put in three or four bunkers around the green. I think the bunkers around the green there are a little bit bland. I think they could be a bit more striking in terms of there's only two of them. I don't think there needs to be any more, me personally, because it's a five iron all day for me. And I'm after hitting a really good tee shot, trying to get in between the two trees. We can disagree about that. Like, there's no problem with that. Part of the discussion and the appeal about Carton House is the fact that there's two courses there. The other course, obviously, being designed by Colin Montgomery, and like I mentioned, opened in 2003, which has hosted three Irish Opens. In 2013, Paul Casey won at 14 under. 2006, Thomas Bjorn won at 5 under. In 2005, Stephen Dodd won at 9 under. This is what the people will describe as the Inland Links. And yeah, I personally love the Monty.
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I like it. I've always liked it. I've played it several times. I mean, I played it shortly after it opened. And nothing to do with my golf writing. I just happened to take a friend there for his birthday. And the rough was long. I mean, this is a conversation we have to have because I need to talk about, you talk about Mark O'Meara and you talk about Colin Montgomery designing the course. I mean, they're obviously the names on the course and they are involved, but European Golf Design are the guys who actually did the work. And they are in there at the moment working on sort of looking at ways to improve the course. So, I mean, there are changes. And specifically for the Montgomery, because the Montgomery is, I mean, I've always rated it as one of the toughest golf courses in Ireland. I mean, it's got 127 bunkers, and not one of them is small, or not one of them is shallow. These are big suckers, and you know they will suck the life out of you if you don't play well. So that has changed. But back then, the first time I played it, the rough was much closer to the fairways, and I played a fabulous round of golf. And I mean, you know, that doesn't usually dictate whether I like a golf course or not. But on this occasion, yeah, I really, really liked it. This is the thing, that the difference between the two courses. You have the O'Meara, which is just, I mean, it's pretty, it's challenging enough, but it's a nice, accessible and playable course. The Montgomery is just there waiting to trap you. Every single shot, it is waiting to trap you, because if you make a small mistake, you can be punished so badly. Certainly at the beginning, less so now. They have been changing it quite a lot in the last 2-3 years. But it is a tough course, and you have to think your way around.
It is a tough course. And I did hear that as well previously about the rough. It's the fact that I came in and it slowed up play a lot. Like if you think about the ninth hole, which is the kind of relatively short par four playing up the hill, there's rough over to the left-hand side there, which apparently used to be never able to find your ball in it. And now it's a little bit easier to find. They've thinned it out quite a bit. So I 100% get that. I think in terms of how tough it is, it's the fact that if you haven't played before, you're not fully sure of where the bunkers are. So the one I always think about is like the 10 tee box. And you can see 2 or 3 bunkers in front of you. The thing about the O'Meara is it's right out in front of you, and you can see everything off the tee because you're standing up taller. And even if you're standing down low, you can see the bunkers rising in the distance. There's so many hidden bunkers here. And like I mentioned, the example what I gave was the 10 tee box, and the fact that just you hit over the bunker on the left-hand side, but you might not realize there's 2 or 3 more bunkers behind that. And you walk up there, you can't see your ball in the fairway, and you realize, dear God, how am I going to get out of this monstrosity here in the fairway, which is a bunker? So I think that's, to me, that's part of the appeal. And I remember the first time I played it, and I brought a friend to play there this year, and he's not the most talented golfer, and he had a treacherous time because he just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I felt the exact same my first time. I think if you start going back there again and again, I've been lucky enough to play it a few times, you start to realize what the lines are off the tee. And if you don't hit that line, you're going to be badly, badly punished here.
I mean, this is the thing, what I'm saying is that they've, a few years ago, I mean, obviously it's now under different ownership, or certainly under different management. There used to be this thing where they would ask you, what's your handicap? And if you weren't a single figure handicapper, they would say, oh, you should go and play the O'Meara course. So essentially they were saying, we know the Montgomery is incredibly tough. So, you know, if you're not good enough, go and play the other course. That they have softened it greatly. Okay, they're working on some bunkers. They are considering whether they're going to take out bunkers, move bunkers, make them less deep. But at the moment, you know, it used to be that you had fairway, a first cut, and then this impenetrable rough. Now they've got another 20 feet. I was actually talking to them today because to find out what they're doing. And they've cut an extra 20 feet on either side of the first cut of rough so that you can find your ball. Because as you say, it used to be if you went into the long rough, there was almost no point looking for it.
Yeah, and the final point I want to make here about the toughness of the course is 14 through 18 generally play... Every time I've played it, they've played straight into the wind. I remember I was 3 over through 13 holes and I end up having double bogey in like nearly all of the last 5. And they play straight into the wind. And I think you walk off there with a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth, thinking, oh, that was overly taxing off the tee. And I just didn't have much chance to hit any green regulation. I think that's why some people just find it so brutally tough, that unless you're playing it on a really calm day, the wind does have a major factor, and the fact that it's so open, it will have a major influence on how well or how good you perceive the course to be, especially in those last 5 holes.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's not a pretty golf course. You know, there's not much to latch onto. It's like an open space. I mean, this is why everyone talks about it being, you know, the links-like golf course with the fescue grasses and things like that. So it's perfectly understandable that people would go, yeah, maybe, you know, it's like a links. Personally, I think it's more like a Heathland course than a links. But you can, if you're standing on almost on the second tee, you can pretty much see the farthest point of the golf course at the far end, because you know it's all enclosed within this sort of line of trees. There aren't an awful lot of trees on the golf course at all. So it's open and exposed, and it's almost like if you're not playing well, you're looking around, you're going, I've got no relief. You know, it's going to be like this for all 18 holes. And sorry to say, but yes, it is. So it's a hard course to love, but I think if you like a really good challenge, then yeah, it's brilliant.
Mm. Cool. Well, just moving towards the front nine of the course, I'll ask you the same thing that I asked you about the O'Meara. Is there a one hole there that just stands out in your mind, thinking that is a really good golf hole? And maybe maybe none.
I would say probably not. Partly because the one thing I love particularly about the Monty is that it has a really good rhythm. That the 18 holes for me work incredibly well together. Whereas the O'Meara sort of, you know, it has stops and starts. And obviously you've got that brilliant stretch down by the river, and you've got a couple of really nice holes on the front nine, but it doesn't, it, you know, it's sort of like stop, start as you go through it. Whereas I find with the Montgomery, there's nothing outstanding. There's not one outstanding hole, certainly not in the front nine. I'm not trying to belittle any of the holes. I mean, I think they're all good, but they all work together as a pack. I mean, you know, you start talking about good holes, you're going to be going towards somewhere on the last four holes. That's where you're going to pick out your outstanding hole. I mean, on the front nine, I really like the second, because, you know, it's a short dog leg and you try to cut off too much and you're going to find a bunker. So, you know, what are you going to do? The third is a big, long par threes. They don't mess around with the par threes on the Monty. So, you know, you have all those really, really tricky holes. I mean, I personally, if you're asking for a good hole, I am taking you to the last sort of stretch of four holes.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I'm going as well. It's the ninth hole to the very end of the front nine, because the par five is like the par five eighth. There's no bunkers on the drive. I find that to be one of the more, and I don't want more bunkers on the course, but I find that to be one of the more bland drives on the entire course. And we talked there about hidden bunkers on the eighth hole. If you're trying to lay up there, there are hidden bunkers everywhere, and the fact that you're not sure where to even lay up, you maybe go down the right hand side and there's even one there. The par 5-8 is a tough hole. Then you get to the ninth and it runs parallel to the eighth hole, and it gives you a chance to potentially get a birdie back. You can hit a driver there, and if you hit it too far, you're going to be in the bunker. So you want to trust your driver. If you don't trust your driver, you know what? Here, hit your tree wood or hit your rescue, lay up short of the bunkers, and you'll have a 9-iron or an 8-iron into this uphill green that's slopes from back to front. I think it's just it's a good golf hole. There's different things, there's different ways that you can play it every day, and hitting into this uphill green, trying to stop it on time, some of the times the bottom of the pin is actually semi-blind, so you're thinking to yourself, how far do I actually hit this? Like, is that pin far back in the green, or is it more towards the middle and I just can't see it because there's a hump there? And I really, really like the ninth hole, and I think it just, when you're talking there about rhythm, like having the tough eighth, and then it flows into this relatively easy ninth hole, and then the 10th hole is a bit tougher again. The 11th hole is a par three. The 12th hole is a drive. 13th hole is a semi-drivable par four. The 12th hole is a pretty tough hole. Do you get what I mean? It's like, it's a good mix and match of, here's a tough hole. All right, you've had a tough hole. Now let's give you another easy hole. And it just feels like we're a relatively short walk between green, from tee to green. It's like, you're never ever beating yourself up, because you know that potentially around the corner there's potentially a birdie opportunity.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you know, it's nicely weighted. I mean, it is. It's a well balanced course, and that's why I like it. And you know, it all works together so nicely. You know, and one of the things for me certainly that pulls it together so well. Okay, you've got bunkers. I mean, that's they're relentless. But the greens, I think, I mean, and I've always said this, I think the greens are some of the best complexes I've ever seen in Ireland. I think they're absolutely incredible. Okay, we talked Rossopenna St. Patrick's the other day. They're absolutely fabulous, but they're very natural greens, whereas obviously these ones are much more manufactured. But I think they've been done so well. They're a fabulous set of greens. And you know, putting on them is one of the great experiences when they're in good shape. And again, I'm not trying to say they're not in good shape. I'm just saying, you know, if you're playing in the winter, it's very different to playing them in the summer. And in the summer, trying to stop a ball on those greens and then putting, you know, it's a lottery. It's tough going, but they're beautiful. And with all the bunkering around the greens, they're all so well shaped, and the complexes are so dominant as you're playing into them. You know, you see where your ball's going to fall off potentially. And they've got, they do put bunkers behind the greens, which again is, you know, it's not something you see all the time, but certainly they do it here. It's, I mean, you know, there's not much leeway. I mean, you talk about some of the easier holes. They're easy enough if you find the fairway. If you don't find the fairway, you know, then things get very difficult.
That was exactly the point I was going to make. It's like, Geomira is a much, obviously, it's a much easier driving course. The Montgomery, you really have to trust in your driver. And if you don't trust your driver, don't risk hitting it. Hit your tree wood. Don't risk being in one of those bunkers, because you could be right up against the face of them and just in a lot of trouble trying to pitch out. In terms of the green complexes, a lot of them slope from back to front. And if you're hitting a wedge into some of these greens, there can be a bunker over the back. And if you're in that bunker over the back of the hole, good luck getting up in them, because... Especially, you mentioned there about summer. You're playing in the middle of summer when these greens are rock hard. They're rolling very fast. You can't stop the ball in them. And that's I suppose, like the beauty of having this inner links or a Heathland course, is that keeping the greens so well. It's just it's a completely different test to the O'Meara course.
Very, very much so. This is what I love about it. I mean, I don't play 36 holes very often in a day anymore. I mean, I have been recently, but... not very often. And I mean, I remember playing Power School and playing 36 holes in a day, and then doing the same at Carlton House, not back to back, I might add. But, you know, the thing with Power School is there's a lot of consistency between the two courses. You know, their greens on both East and West are fabulous. Whereas if you go and you play the Carlton House courses, you could be playing in a different country. They're so different. And you know, it's I love that experience of doing something so completely different between one round and the next, even though you're playing where you are.
Yeah. Moving on towards the back nine. I mentioned already about close stretch, and we've already touched on a lot of the holes here. I'll ask you the same question I asked you about the front nine. Is there a standout hole here?
Well, for me, I love 16, 17, 18, I think 17 is kind of the obvious signature hole that people pick, because it's almost different to the rest of the course. I mean, you know, I talked about the rhythm earlier on. I think if there's one hole that slightly stands out as being a little bit different, it's the 17th, and it's only because of the backdrop. You know, it's up above the River Rye. It's got all the trees around sort of like the back of it. I mean, not actually behind the hole, but on the other side of the river. So it just creates a much more enchanting setting for the hole. But I think, I mean, you know, 16 is a tough par four, doglegs to the right.
Very tough.
And then you've got the par three, which is a gentle enough downhill hole. And then you've got the par five to finish, which is beside the River Rye. Now, while the water doesn't come into play again, you know it's there, and it's a fairly dramatic finish. You're playing towards the famous boathouse and the bridge. So, I mean, those are the three that always are going to stand out. And I think I would pick a different hole every time I played it from those three, depending on which one I felt was being kind to me at the time.
So I love the 17th. The one I'll go to is actually completely different. It's the 13th hole, which is... I don't like saying that whatever distance it is, it's drivable, but it's drivable for some people. But it's the fact that you can't see the hole and you're trying to drive over this. There's bunkers down the left-hand side of the fairway and you can't see the hole. And if you want to try and reach the green, you have to take it over the left center of those bunkers to try and, because there's a bunker to the right-hand side of the green and a bunker to the left-hand side of the green. It's relatively shallow. And you have to be really, really aggressive with your drive there if you want to try and reach it into, or you're going to be into the bunker to the right-hand side of the green. And if you're going to be in that bunker to the right-hand side of the green, you may as well have hit a 5-iron off the tee and went in with a wedge, because if you're in that bunker, there is no chance of you getting up and down. And I just think that's the thing I love about it, is walking down the fairway, having hit your drive and wondering, oh, I can't see it. I can't see it. Oh, there it is. It's just in the front left of the green. Or it's, oh, crap, it's in that bunker on the right or the left-hand side. I just love that hole every single time I play, and you're coming off the 11th or the 12th hole, which is that par 3. It's one of my favorite par 4s out there at Carlton House. Like I mentioned, not for the fact that it's drivable, but it's the sheer excitement and having the trust and confidence in your game to hit that shot and execute at that time.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting hole because it is short. I mean, this again, we go into this conversation that you and I have about playing very different types of golf. It's 322 yards. Now, I'm not in a month of Sundays thinking I can drive that. But the interesting part about it is it is drivable because there's a nice downslope towards the green. If you can get over that bunker, it runs down to the green. And okay, the green kind of rises again on the other side of, so like this dip. But if you hit a good drive, like for me, if I hit a really good drive and I get over that ridge, chances are I'm playing into a green 80, 90 yards away from a fairly significant downhill lie. I mean, I'm not saying it's steeply downhill, but you are playing downhill. And that's a tough shot when you've got the bunkers where you are. So a 5-iron off the tee is not necessarily a bad shot because then you're on an uphill lie playing into this green. And it is a much easier shot from an extra sort of 60, 70 yards further back.
And even if you play a 5-iron off the tee, you want to hug those bunkers down the left-hand side, because if you say to yourself, if you get to the top of your backswing, you say, right, bail out here to the right-hand side, you've this really, really shallow green. Like I mentioned, on the drive, the bunkers are on the left and the right. If you bail out to the right-hand side where you're off the tee, if the bunker's short and the bunker's long, and you're hitting maybe a 9-iron or a pitching wedge into a green, and you've really got to trust. It's like, what I'm saying is, go over the bunkers or hug the bunkers on the left-hand side, but bailing out to the right-hand side where there's plenty of room does not guarantee a par or even a bogey at times. And I think that's the part that I really, really enjoy about playing that hole over and over again.
Actually, what's the index? Am I looking at the right one? No, I'm again looking
index
at the
14.
Oh, it's index 14. Okay, that's not too bad. Yeah. I mean, it's still tricky enough. Am I right with the distance there?
Yeah, 322.
Yeah. So I mean, it's never easy. But I suppose index 14 does suggest that it's going to be easier than most. So.
Yeah. Let's move on to some hypothetical questions, which I sent you across earlier. This is by no means a knock on the other course if we pick one of these. So I want to measure out which is the best par threes, which is the best par fours, and which is the best par fives. You can interpret that in any way that you want in terms of which par threes would you like to play over and over again, or if you're playing it for the first time, which you think is the best set of par threes. So, and if you want me to answer any of these first, throw it to me. The best set of par threes out of the Montgomery and the O'Meara courses.
Okay, well, I would say, personally, I would play the O'Meara par threes over and over again. I mean, you know, 14 and 16 are just glorious holes. And the seventh is also a really, really pretty hole. So, I mean, I think from the point of view of playing a hole that you actively want to play again and again, you just feel that's a really, I'd love to go back to the tee. Certainly, I mean, you know, the 14th and the 16th. And the par threes on the Montgomery, I mean, as I say, it's not a pretty course. And the par threes are not short.
No,
you know, you've got a couple there that are coming in on the white tees that are 200 yards long. And, you know, you find typically if you're hitting that kind of length, you're trying to force the shot. So the chances of going into one of the bunkers is greatly increased. And then, you know, you're trying to get up and down from there is not easy. I mean, I don't say I don't like the par threes on the Montgomery. I do. But, you know, sometimes I just prefer not to have to slog.
If you were to play those par threes over and over again, by the end of the day, you'd be going into the clubhouse for 2 or 3 pints of Guinness, just wondering why have I put myself through that torture. Like, the shortest par three on the Monty course off the white tees is 162 yards, which, like, is mental. 162 yards would be the longest par three in a lot of courses in Ireland. So yeah. I agree with you. I think coupled with, like I mentioned, the elevation changes and the uncertainty, and some of the green sites on the O'Meara are just so well situated behind tree line that you're not sure what to do. I agree with you. I'd pick the O'Meara par threes all day. Par fours, I understand there's quite a few. There could be 8 par fours on these courses. If I told you, you know what, Kevin, you're only there to play the par fours on one of these courses today, which ones would you go out and play? And feel free to pick the O'Meara for all of these.
I think I would pick the Amira for all of these. I mean, it's just because it's a friendlier course. I mean, like, you know, I like playing tough golf. I mean, I really do. But I mean, I think if I was going out to have to enjoy myself, you know, the Monte wouldn't be high on the list of a course I would choose. If someone said, let's go and have some fun, I wouldn't go, yay, let's go to the Monte. I just wouldn't do that. Because I think it would just be cruel punishment. And, you know, maybe if I was playing with friends who are off 2 and 3, maybe I'd say, yeah, okay, let's go for it. But I think the point of view of just having more fun, the Amira is going to win on that one. But that said, I think there are some weak par fours on the Amira course, whereas I like pretty much all of the par fours on the Monte. So, you know, take your pick. I'm certainly, I find it a bit more difficult to pick those. And the same with the par fives, because, I mean, you know, there's me saying that I think the Amira is prettier. I don't like the opening hole on the Amira. And, you know, the par 5 15th is obviously the standout hole. But, you know, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm talking about the par 5s. Okay, which are you going to pick? Take the par 4s. Which do you pick?
If let's say we didn't have the 16th, 14th on the Montgomery, I think I'd pick the par 4. Or on the Montgomery, I think I'd pick the par 4s. My problem, like I mentioned, is the fact that the last five holes are straight into the wind, and 14 and 16 are like brutal par fours, 380 and 430 yards long, that probably play like 420 and 460 yards long into the wind a lot of the time. And I agree with you. I think there's some slightly weak holes on the Amira course in terms of par fours. I think as a general hole, I'd probably pick the Amira. And I've had all day to think about this, and now I'm starting to doubt myself. No, I definitely picked the Amira. But if they, oh God, this is all purely hypothetical. If they made the 14th and 16th par four on the Monte just a little bit shorter, that you weren't coming into the clubhouse and heading towards the end of the round and having to hit a driver rescue into some of these holes, I think I'd opt for those. But right now, as of whatever we are, the 1st of December 2022, I would pick the Amira course.
Okay.
I think we're going to disagree though on the par fives.
Okay. Well, I think the par fives are, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's the 18th on the Montgomery, which is probably, would I put that ahead of the 15th on the Amira? Yeah. You know, I probably would. And I know the 15th on the Amira, everyone like raves about it as being part of that stretch, but I just really, really like the 18th on the Monte. And I also actually really like which one is it? I'd have to look at the card, but there's one of the par fives on the front nine that I also like. So I think maybe I would pick the Monte, but I don't know. It's always
the ones in the Monte are 4, 8, 15, and 18. And they range anywhere between 497 and 559 yards. I just think the Amira gets a lot of good rep from the 15th hole. But yeah. I think, like we mentioned, the first hole is a little bit bland. I think I'm trying to remember some of these numbers off the top of my head. The 15th hole is a great hole. The 6th hole it's a little bit bland. You're hitting towards that pole in the middle, trying to draw it around to the left-hand side. And I just think the Montgomery has a better set of par fives. And we think of the 4th hole, where if you want to ever even dream of going for that hole in 2, you have to aim it down the left-hand side and aim at those bunkers. If you don't, you're going to spray it out to the right-hand side, and then you're trying to pierce it between the trees for your layup shot. And I really, really like that hole. The 8th hole, I mentioned it's a little bit bland on the drive, but in terms of the approach shot, you want to be sure of where you're going to land that ball so you have a clear approach into the green. And if you know that there's bunkers down there, that can be pretty taxing on the body. The 15th and 18th, I think I'd just pick the par fives on the Montgomery course. I think just, I'm not a huge fan of the par fives at the Amira.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think it's all about personal preference, isn't it? And how what you like about a hole, whether it's because you want to, you like the drive or whether you like the green, you know, each hole just sort of stands out for itself in a different way. And I think maybe sometimes with the Montgomery, you know, a lot of the shots are quite similar because, quite frankly, you're terrified of the consequences of a poor shot. Or sometimes you want to hit a really poor shot rather than a somewhat poor shot, because a somewhat poor shot will put you in a bunker beside a green. If you had a really bad shot, you'll probably miss those bunkers and maybe you'll get lucky. You know, you're not going to get lucky in the bunker very often because they're deep, deep bunkers. So I think from that point of view, you know, there is that element of the fear that it comes into your, in most shots on the Monty.
If I'm going to play really bad today, I want to play really, really bad. Sometimes some of the top process when you're going around the Montgomery. My last hypothetical question, which I put to you already before the call, so I'll cheat it a little bit and I know your answer. Which course would you prefer to play 5 days in a row?
If I had to play 5 days in a row, it would have to be the Omira. I mean, it's just, I'm never going to play five good rounds of golf in a row. In fact, I probably don't even play, you know, remotely close to two in a row. And I think that would just be playing on the Monty. You know, when you don't play well, you can come off feeling like a slightly broken man. And I think, you know, the Omira doesn't do that to you. You can have, you're always relieved when you get down to 14, 15, 16. Doesn't matter if you hit the ball in the water. It really doesn't, because it's so pretty. Who cares? That sort of thing. Whereas on the Montgomery, it's like, oh, I'm in another bunker. What am I going to do now? So, you know, from that point of view, I think I have to pick the Omira.
Oh God, am I a lunatic for saying the Montgomery?
Yes, you are. Absolutely.
Okay. Part of the appeal of the Montgomery, like I mentioned this already in the podcast, has been the fact that the more and more I've played it, the more and more I've got to know about my certain lines off the tee or where to avoid. I remember the first time this person brought me out and I absolutely despised it. I thought it was back before I even started looking at golf course. I thought this is the worst golf course in Ireland. It's pure sand everywhere. The more and more I've got to play it, and like I mentioned, I've been lucky enough to play it a good few times now. Okay, the eighth hole, you know what? It's open enough off tee, but there's hidden bunkers down there in the right hand, or down the left hand side. Make sure if you're laying up to the eighth hole, put it down the right hand side. The 10th hole is a par four. Aim it at the tree. You'll never ever hit the tree. Whereas the first time I played that, I was looking at the tree. I was like, right, I'm going to take on these bunkers down the left hand side. If I had to play it 5 days in a row, you're right, I would be a broken man. But maybe I love torture. But like going out there and playing it every day and trying to learn more and more about, I'm marking my scorecard or strokes over whatever, thinking, can't miss it there, can't miss it there. I just feel like the Omira, I absolutely love it every two or three or 4 weeks. I just think off the tee, it's at times just it's a little bit more tame than the Montgomery, obviously. And that's probably why I love the Montgomery.
Honestly, I think the Montgomery is a better course. You know, for its consistency and for various other reasons, but I do think it is a better course than the Omira. And I mean, it is tough, and it's always nice to have a tough course, but whether I want to do it 5 weeks in a row or 5 days in a row, I don't know.
Do it 5 weeks.
I can't imagine. Yeah, no, five days would be quite enough, but I don't think I can manage that.
Yeah. I realize that we're getting on 53 minutes here. I just want to spend 30 or 60 seconds talking about, because I meant to mention this at the start, the benefits of members having two completely different courses in terms of type of course and the difficulty. If you're a member at Carton House, you are blessed to have, like, these 18 holes by themselves would be excellent courses anywhere in Ireland. Having being a member of Carton House and having access to two of them is a, you're in dreamland. You're being given a Christmas present all year round, and yeah, you're just blessed to have the two of them.
I also, the other thing is, which I really like about them is that they have two head greenkeepers, so they have two very independent greens, one for the Omira and one for the Monty. So there's a kind of a friendly rivalry between the two of them to make, you know, who's got the better conditioned course, and I think that actually works incredibly well in its favor. Because I don't think I've ever played the course. I mean, I've played the Monty during the winter a couple of times, And I mean, I've never felt that it was any less the conditioning than during the summer. It's always in good shape. And, you know, these guys work, and I love that rivalry because it means they increase their work rate, and well, not increase their work rate, but they know they're comparing themselves to their peers. I like that. I think that works really well in their favor.
That's incredible. I never knew that. Off top of your head, do you know any other courses in Ireland that have like 2 18-hole golf courses that have something similar to that?
I'm not aware of any, but that doesn't mean there aren't.
We're going to have to start digging for next week. Awesome. Kevin, any closing remarks? I know this is supposed to go on 25, 30 minutes.
I know. You even had times next to each heading, which I thought was really sweet. Saying, yeah, that first one's not going to last very long.
We're going to spend 12 minutes in this section, 10 minutes in that section. Oh, God. Okay.
You're actually going to have to get a clock and put it beside there and go, Kevin, we're at 9 minutes. Wrap it up.
Well, Kevin, I'm about to release my article for my top 5 course in 2022, which is supposed to be like 1,000 words. And I'm not even finished it, and it's on 2,500. So
I'm afraid so.
I think I just love detail. Class. Kevin, this has been a pleasure. We've been meaning to do this one for a while. I think both of us, we've been quite clear, absolutely love Carton House. 2 completely different golf courses, different challenges. You could play the O'Meara one day, the Montgomery the next day, and love them both equally.
Yeah, and have a very good lunch in the Carriage House. I'd say that the food there is good.
Very good. Very good. Kevin, thank you very much. Listen, you can find Kevin. We'll close this off. You can find Kevin on Twitter at Kevin Markham, writing for the Irish Examiner, an Irish golfer. And be sure to check out his fantastic golf photos at kevinmarkhamphotography.com, where he also has photographs of Carton House, if I'm correct.
I do.
You do. Brilliant. God, thank God I got that right. Be sure to check him out. You can also find me on all social media handles at The Plug Lie. Gurmila Mata Gut, and Kevin, I'll chat to you again next week.
You will indeed. Thanks very much, Mark.